my take at thetakeaway.org. It was a great series of moments last night. If you watched the Oscars, Slumdog Millionaire, of course, won 8 awards, and Kate Winslet won for Best Actress, and Sean Penn, as I noted just there, was accepting for his role in Milk. Joining us now is David Carr, culture reporter, columnist for the New York Times. We spoke last Friday where we had a whole strategy figured out for the red carpet moment, how to deal with the celebrity superficiality at the Oscars last night. And David, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, it seems to me that for all the talk we had last week about superficial celebrities, et cetera, the whole moment last night was a kind of a hodgepodge of global culture and serious talk of human rights. And I was actually surprised at how sort of sober and really not superficial the entire affair seemed to be to me.
Well, you have to keep in mind that Hollywood is, you know, sort of the last remaining export that the rest of the world is interested in, and they don't want to seem too out of touch with the times that they're in. They just come out and simply do song and dance and not at least flick at or reflect the broader things that are underway, I don't think is really good for business.
I mean, there was a mortality theme, whether you're talking about Mickey Rourke and his dog, you know, wearing the pendant and telling everybody about it. And then there was, of course, Heath Ledger.
Yeah, we all know Loki now.
Yeah, no kidding. But then there was also this sense of, you know, here's the emergence of Slumdog Millionaire and the whole Bollywood scene, a global culture taking center stage.
Yeah, what I was struck by is, you know, you open with song and dance. It seems straight out of the 1930s, 1940s, kind of a depression or post-depression song and dance. And then it sort of bumped into a lot of Bollywood trade dress, which, after all, is a version of that Hollywood kind of coming back at us. And it was underpinned. I mean, you can't have Heath Ledger's family get up there and not have a moment of really profound sadness about what is lost. And I think that his death and the need to acknowledge that kind of hung over things a little bit as well.
Right. And, of course, Hugh Jackman, there's one talented guy, wouldn't you say?
I don't think there are a lot of people that could do that high-low thing that he did and really pulled off. He was both doing things earnestly and ironically at the same time. Very gifted performer, big range of talent. I know the producers were very happy. And I got to tell you, in the room, I was in a press room, but in the room, I was just at the Vanity Fair party, and people were fairly ecstatic about what they saw.
Yeah, well, it was a great show, actually. Of course, you know, I can only watch the beginning of it because I have to go to bed, right, to do this show. But how did it work with the questions? You solicited questions on our website, on your own blog, of things that were out of the ordinary to ask celebrities on the red carpet. How did that go?
Well, we all have our cross to bear. You had to go to bed. I had to hit the carpet, John, so we could argue about who had the tougher duty. One of the questions I think it was your listener came up with was, who else in your in your group of nominees would you select? And Kate Winslet said automatically that it would be Meryl. I also asked her if she did any carb loading before she came out, and she said she was far too nervous to eat anything. I asked Franklin Langella, and this is a question from your listeners, if playing Nixon changed his opinion of the man. He said, no, I had no opinion of who he was on purpose, and so I didn't develop or change any opinions. He is an actor's actor. I asked all the Slumdog kids, if you were paid in candy, what would it be? And there were 8 of them together, and they each shouted a different candy.
Wow.
Some were Snickers, some were M&Ms, some were Indian candies. I never heard of, but they did say in unison as they walked away, Jai Ho, which I thought was really, really cute. Danny Boyle was fairly serious on the carpet, as you sort of mentioned earlier, and I asked what the broader lesson of a little movie made for under $20 million in Mumbai, India, had to say to the film world, and he said, we have to maintain the capacity to surprise, to come out of nowhere, to still remain vital as a cinema. Penelope Cruz had a very good bit about, and I've heard this once before, about the day she was scheduled to do a love scene with Scarlett Johansson. Kind of a moment I think all of us might want to be on set for,
So you actually did get some substance in there. I mean, from the, you know, little discussion of the love scene there to Danny Boyle being serious. I love this idea of the capacity of cinema to surprise. And really, you know, what that says, if Slumdog Millionaire does so well, what really has the capacity to surprise us is looking broadly in the world, not just in the same old kinds of stories and remakes that Hollywood's been doing for so long.
Well, I saw a big-time Hollywood producer, he was at the Governor's Ball. Afterwards, he said, well, so this means I could make a movie in China, Han. And I just said to him, well, you always could. It's just Hollywood tends to move down, you know, fairly. They want to minimize risk as much as possible. And Slumdog is a dream of a movie in that it's made for not much, just click past $100 million. And, you know, you could look in the past, as Danny Boyle mentioned, he said, look at Juno, you know, last year, came out of nowhere and did really, really huge business.
People are hungry for surprises, and thanks for bringing us a few surprise moments from the Oscars last night. That's David Carr, carpetbagger, blogger for the New York Times, reporting to us from Hollywood.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.